Please be seated. Over the course of the last year, we have been making our way through the Gospel of Luke. Luke is all about the reversal of the status quo, about casting down systems of power and oppression, about turning institutions upside down. Luke is characterized by those words we hear in the Magnificat in the first chapter of Luke, when Mary says, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." It's not surprising, then, that fairly early in Luke's narrative, we hear Jesus set our attention on Jerusalem, that place of the greatest reversal of all. Today, where we are in Luke's narrative comes at a particular point in this journey to Jerusalem. For the last 2 weeks and for about another week or so, we're in that final stage. These are the last parables Jesus will tell before his entry into Jerusalem. And so being in a different place in this journey, these parables have a different character. They might seem a little more straightforward, a little easier to understand, because they're not about one specific topic. They're not about economic justice. They're not about familial relations. They're about those things which are at the heart of the life of faith, those things that form the very core of the followers of Jesus. And so 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of the 10 lepers, 10 people who were isolated from society, who were restored to health and wholeness, who by virtue of that restoration were allowed to re-enter society. And yet only one returned thankful to Jesus. Only one came back to offer his prayer, his thanks, and his gratitude. And that one person was the outsider. And so we hear in that parable an invitation to offer our unending thanks and praise to God. Last week we heard the story of the unjust judge and the woman who was so persistent. She wouldn't give up. And we receive in that an invitation to pray always, to be persistent in our faith. And this morning, in this morning's parable, we get a fuller vision of what that prayer is supposed to be like. And we have this in the example of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, the Pharisee is a faithful servant of God. He does all the things that he is supposed to do, that he is required to do. He prays, he tithes, he even fasts more than is required. He has done the right things, he has said the right things, he is faithful. And then on the other hand, we have the tax collector, the person who is part of a system that makes its money by exploiting others, that takes advantage of their neighbors, that works alongside of the oppressive government. And so, having these two characters, we might think, oh, I know where you're going, Jesus. But it's Luke's gospel. So in this parable, there's a reversal. And so we hear the words of prayer that these two men bring to the temple. We hear the Pharisee say, "God, I thank you that I'm not like those people. I do the right things. I say the right things. I'm pretty awesome." The Pharisee falls into that trap. He falls into the sin of pride, and we hear in his prayer not a prayer to God, but a prayer of praise of himself. And then there's the tax collector. The tax collector who is very different than this Pharisee. We hear he stands afar off. He's bent over, not able to look up. He beats his breast, and he says, "God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He doesn't try to justify his actions. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, "Hey, that one time last Thursday, I did something really good." He honors his reality. The fact that he is broken, that he is hurting, that he has fallen short of the glory of God. And so in Luke's narrative of great reversals, it's the tax collector that goes home justified. For all who humble themselves will be exalted, and all who exalt themselves will be humbled. It seems to me with this parable, as is the case with so many, it would be really easy to set up a false dichotomy. To say it's the Pharisee versus the tax collector. It's the nine lepers versus the one. It's the woman versus the unjust judge. But that cuts the gospel short. That doesn't allow us to see the full invitation before us. For we are both Pharisee and tax collector. We, as faithful people, do the things that we have been asked to do. We pray. We give money. We fast. We engage in acts of outreach. Those are the things that are really easy for us to do. Those are the things that society encourages us to do. Society encourages us to build ourselves up, to give praise and thanks for our accomplishments. Look at the places I've been. Look what I have done. Look where I am going. At the same time that society says to laud our achievements, we should hide our vulnerabilities. We shouldn't admit to being scared, to being tired, anxious. We shouldn't admit to our woundedness and vulnerability, and we really shouldn't admit to failure. And so by building ourselves up, by puffing ourselves up, even by those things which are good to do, we wall off the inner parts of ourselves, the parts that we might be ashamed to admit are there. This invitation Jesus offers us today in this parable is an invitation to break down that wall. It's an invitation to no longer live by the motto, fake it till you make it. It's an invitation to be open, an invitation to be honest, to be vulnerable with ourselves and with God. St. Augustine, in writing on this passage, clues in to the importance of this openness, this vulnerability, when he writes, "It is not surprising that the tax collector went away cured, since he had not been ashamed of showing where he felt pain." I can't help but wonder, thinking about this invitation, thinking about this comment from Augustine, what it would look like if we approached our worship and prayer in the same way. What would it look like if in these moments we were honest with ourselves and with God, honest about the places of hurt, the places of brokenness, the places of sinfulness where we have fallen short of the glory of God? The invitation we have before us says, if we can do that, if we can be vulnerable, those are the moments where God will break in and fill us with God's loving kindness and mercy, where God will restore us so that we no longer have to be bent over, beating our breasts, beating ourselves up for the ways we fall short, but we can stand upright and go forth from this place justified. We can go forth from this place to do that which Luke has been calling us to do week after week, to pray, to engage in the work of God, and to continue the work of the great reversal in this world. In these moments, when we breathe these words, when we admit, when we say out loud, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," when we cast aside our unadorned selves upon God, we experience his love without condition or limit. And so this morning, in our prayer, in our song, in our sharing of the sacrament, we have this invitation, we have this opportunity to be open and vulnerable with ourselves and with God. The journey to Jerusalem is not over. It's still afar off, and it's a long journey ahead. And so today we pause. We rest in the faithfulness of God and accept the gift of God's mercy so that we can go forth from this place being healed, forgiven, and strengthened. Amen.